And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, so coming up here in a few minutes, State Senator Garland Gudger, who hails from the Cullman area, will be in studio with us talking about economic development, jobs, and how we can best increase Alabama's posture on the national scene so that we are a true competitor for the best jobs out there. And it's, by the way, it's cutthroat, man. I mean, I used to chair the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development in the State Senate, and which is what Garland Gudger chairs now. And I'll be honest with you, we are constantly in competition. Don't think for a second that this is about corporate welfare and giving things away. No, it's not. It's about making sure that when companies are looking at three or four or five states, that we're the one that's on top of the list. It's like trying to get Space Command. You're working on trying to get Space Command, and granted, that's a whole different story because politics got into play. But when you're trying to get Space Command here, we're one of a list. And then they have to examine all the things that happen within that list. What do we bring in terms of quality of life? What do we have in terms of a qualified workforce? That means you got to have workforce development. What do you have in terms of location? Are there sites where we could bring a $5 billion plant to do major manufacturing that would have the ability to have rail access, interstate access, all these things that it does it have the power grid able to support it? What does it take to come there? And then if you've got that, and then three other states have that, then it comes down to, okay, which one's better for us? Then they look at things like your school systems for their employees. They look at stuff like, what's the economy like in your state? They look at things like a workforce that may or may not be ready, but could be quickly trained. And then what other things can you provide? Can you provide things that assist that company with developing their workforce, like training? Do you have the ability then to provide key training and capabilities for them to be able to hire? And then, oh, by the way, there's going to wind up being tax incentives. If you come here, we will abate your taxes for a period of time. If you come here, we will not hand you a check. We're not talking about that. We're talking about doing things like, if you are a productive member of society, then we will abate your taxes. And one of the things that we did when I first came into office, and I know that they've been continuing this trend, is we began to make it a matter of contract. It's not just like a promise made by the governing bodies. No. It's a contract between the state and the company. If you come here or grow here and we give you incentives, then there are milestones you may have to meet, and then we put what's called clawbacks into the contract. Clawbacks are literally saying, if you don't meet the standards, guess what? You have to repay those incentives. So that, to me, is a win-win. I look at this and think, okay, there's a lot of talk about what kind of states can do what, and where does Alabama sit on the overall stage? Well, there's a couple of things here. There's what we call site selection. Then there's actual economic incentives, and then there's workforce development. Let's take three parts there. Site selection, economic incentives, workforce development. Site selection means, like I said a moment ago, do you have locations where we can expand our capabilities? And does it have the capacity for us to begin building now, or do you have to build it and maybe 3 years from now it's done? Well, site selection is a huge deal, y'all. You know, there's only two, and I'll get into this more detail in a minute. There's only two, I believe, last I checked, only two mega sites, they call them mega sites, that are they're given advantage status by the State Department of Commerce in Alabama. One's in Baldwin County, and one's up here where I live in Etowah County. 1,000 acres, generally speaking, is what they have. All the environmental work has already been done. The power can reach to it. So power and water and other utilities are fully capable and ready to be, you know, turned on. Sometimes rail access can add to it. Interstate access can add to it. And all this to say, it's there and it's ready. Well, the mega site in Etowah County has been waiting on a tenant now for a good, I mean, they've been developing this over time now for a good 10 years. But I really believe that there's probably in the near future going to be something that breaks about that mega site. People talk about when Mercedes came to the state of Alabama. Some get irritated because Mercedes got a big deal. They did get a big deal. Do you know how much Mercedes has meant to the economy of this state? Do you know what has happened with jobs in this state because of Mercedes? Do you know that because Mercedes came here and thrived, that we have now become the Detroit of the South? That auto manufacturing in Alabama with Hyundai and Toyota Mazda and Mercedes and Kia, and then all the tier two and three manufacturers that go along with them. So it's not like you have one plant and, oh, that's cool. In my area, there's a plant that actually supplies the sunroofs and other major parts for the cars at the Mercedes plant. And they do it here and not somewhere else because they work under what's called real-time logistics now, which is way cool. And I'm getting in the weeds, but I'm like geeking on this stuff because real-time logistics means they know they've got X number of cars on the assembly line tomorrow, and they know that of those X number of cars, 32 of them are going to wind up needing sunroofs. And so the factory here in Alabama, in Gadsden area, puts 32 sunroofs in order of how they're going to be installed in a truck, and they roll up to the plant right when those cars are hitting the assembly line, and they come off the truck to the assembly line, no storage necessary. Real-time logistics. It's very cool. Well, why is that important? Because if real-time logistics is the wave of the future, then that means you got to have tier two and three manufacturers close by. So when a big box plants itself here in the state of Alabama, which is a wonderful thing, the tier two and threes have to be close so they can do real-time logistics. And then we have the Port of Mobile. The Port of Mobile is now one of the best warm water ports in the United States. And that's a huge deal, y'all. What that basically means is major manufacturers can set up in Alabama, which has now been ranked as one of the top site selection states in the nation, manufacture whatever it is they make, and roll it down the road to the Port of Mobile and get it wherever it has to go in the world. We have got to stay on top of that, and that's why we're going to talk about economic incentives and how best we can grow this state to be competitive on the national market. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, we will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. I love this state. I mean, this show sends its signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia and Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, by the way, you hear the ads playing during the break. Just know this, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone business. We're actually a 501c3, but we are a standalone entity. We have to have our own revenue streams to be able to support what we do. We're not owned by the radio stations you hear us on. We send them our show. And so in order to sustain that, one of the ways we do it is by selling ads. And so if you would like to advertise your business on Right Side Radio, you don't call the station, you call us directly. I mean, think about it. You're sitting there thinking, golly, these guys got it going on. Best show on the radio. And oh, by the way, they think like I think, talk like I talk. I want my business to be aligned with them. We'd love to talk to you. So yeah, just go ahead and go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. All the stuff about our show is on there. But you can also find a place that says advertising and contact at rightsideradio.org. Click on it. Send us a message. We will get back to you right away. We'd love to talk to you about advertising with the show. All right, so I am back in. I know that Senator Gudger got held up by a family situation, and he is almost here, so we'll just keep talking until he arrives. But I will say this. One of the things that people don't realize is out there is a thing called AIDT. AIDT is actually very cool. I became aware of it when I was in the Senate. AIDT is like sort of like the ace in the hole when it comes to being able to recruit industry to the state. And AIDT, what it basically does, and I'm trying to think what AIDT stands for, but I'll think of it here in a second. But AIDT literally is an organization in the state that will help train your people to do the jobs that a new plant or an expanding plant needs to do. So as you see things happening in the state of Alabama, just know this. Part of what we've got is not only great site selection, we've got great economic incentives, we've got great people that can do workforce development, but a part of that workforce development is an organization called AIDT. I'm fist bumping right now with State Senator Garland Gudger, who's walking in the door. Listen, man, I know you've had a day, and I'm not going to talk about it in detail, but I know you've had a day. So thank you very much for being here. How are you?
I'm great, sir. How are you doing?
I am good enough.
I'm glad to see you.
I'm glad to see you.
Yeah, it's been a little while anyway.
It just dawned on me, you chair FRED, the Committee on Fiscal that was my committee.
It gets weirder.
Okay.
I chair FRED.
Yeah.
I have your old office.
No.
And Holly was my secretary, which was your secretary. Yes. And so I felt like I'm in your shoes is what I really feel like anyway. So walking back in here, you're kind of like the original gangster, the OG, right? And so I'm coming back here to talk. I like it.
Come on in. I'll make you a deal you can't refuse.
I like it.
Well, hey, I know you've had a day. You just drove in from Cullman. You serve in Senate District 4, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
You are correct.
Been there since 2018.
That is correct.
And you are a small business guy yourself. And weren't you also on the city council or county commission? What'd you do before you ran for
city council? I was the youngest city councilman in the history of Cullman City.
Oh.
Went in 2004. I was 27 years old, a long time ago. And then from that, I stayed for 4 years, and everyone that I ran with, including the mayor and my clerk, either got beat, they retired, or they passed away, and I was the only man standing in 2008. So everyone was looking at me for answers. I was like, man, I've got a lot to learn. So I learned through just throwing myself into the middle of the briar patch and just learning. And so, you know, trying to do what's right. And so for the next 12 years, or probably really next 10 years, I was city council president, and so learning the budgets and learning how everything functioned on the city government style. So I think it gave me a good base to run for Senate.
So everybody looked around and realized the only guy who knew where the bones were buried is you.
Exactly. They all got scared of me a little bit.
Hey, we're going to talk about economics and economic incentives, and you carried not only did you chair FRED, but you carried the transparency bill in our economic package this past session.
I did.
And then supported the SEEDS Act, which we'll talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, though, I just got to say, you actually have one of the coolest businesses that my wife has spent too much money in.
You let her come back anytime she wants to. Yeah.
So for those that don't know, over in Cullman, there's this very cool place, Southern Accents.
Architectural Antiques.
Yes. And, I mean, you guys salvage stuff all over the nation, right?
We do. We salvage from Brooklyn to Oklahoma to Pittsburgh to Philadelphia.
So there's a newel post on my staircase in my house. There's glass transoms, and there's a stained glass double doors on our pantry, all of which came from your place.
Oh, I remember those. They were nice. Yeah, I love those, man. You know, some of those pieces I hate to see leave because, you know, you get kind of like your kids because you love them, right? And but I'm glad they went to good use, and you're able to enjoy those every day. But we travel. My father started the business out of the garage in 1969. And then I just grew up in that business, you know. So if something happened, I would still just do it again. I mean, it's really what's in my blood. And I enjoy salvaging and enjoy historic preservation.
So one day I'm sitting there on a Saturday morning, and I'm watching American Pickers.
Yeah.
I'm watching American Pickers, and I looked at it, and I went, wait a minute.
I know that.
And I texted you on the phone, and I said, I just saw Mike Wolf from American Pickers wearing a Southern Accents t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
So you done stuff with the American Pickers guys?
We talk on a weekly basis, Mike.
Do you
and
really?
I do, yeah. So anytime they have architectural salvaging, especially in the Southeast, he'll call me and say, hey, I've got this, let's switch something out or work with me. He does a lot of flipping of properties and all, so we work with him a lot. But on that, we've worked on his own house, his own motorcycle garage. We're doing a lot of stuff up in Columbia, Tennessee for him right now. And I was on the show with him. And so he did the only show ever, which I'm proud of, that he did a show that was not just on picking. It was about salvaging a house. He called me and said, I need your help on this show. And I said, that's fine. I'll help. I took my whole crew to Bentendorf, Iowa, got up there, thought that I was just going to be in the background. He said, oh, no, you're my main guy with me. And I'm like in the middle, and I did interviews with it just like I was Frank or somebody, you know, his partner. But it worked out really well in his national exposure. So it kind of helped boost our little small business into even a higher level. So I was proud of that.
Well, and I will say, too, and I feel like I'm just giving you all this free advertising, but it's just because it's one of my favorite places. But yours, your location in downtown Coleman, old downtown Coleman in the old streets, it's one of those places you can go and ramble through, and every time I go, I see something I didn't see before.
And every day we get new things in. We try to make it worth someone's drive to our store, because I know we're in Coleman, Alabama, which is centrally located, but we have a map that shows people from about a three-hour radius that's consistently come to our store. So if someone's going to drive 3 hours or less to our store, I want to make sure I have the selection that they need so it was worth their while. And so while they're there, I've got 4,000 doors. I've got 250 fireplace mantles. I've got 500,000 board feet of lumber now. I mean, so it's, if you want architectural salvage, vintage wood, antique doors, I'm the biggest in the Southeast.
Well, and y'all did, like, for the, I've got these, so we built our house, and, you know, that's how we put these, incorporate these pieces into it, but I got these super tall, they're like 9 foot tall doors that I don't know where they came from, that are going to my study, but y'all actually kind of cleaned them up and put glass in because a lot of the panes were missing. Yeah. So y'all do, you do the finish work too.
The difference in our store, I feel like in most other salvage stores nationwide, is that we have a restoration shop, and the restoration shop has four guys in there that have studied carpentry, carving, sculpting, anything that you need to do. So if I needed to carve your face in a door, my guys seriously could do it. But we put frames on the doors, we add glass, we put old hardware or new hardware, and anything you can think of. We strip and sand a lot of the paint off of the null post and the doors also. But we're really kind of a one-stop shop if you're looking for architectural salvage. We had to quit doing other people's material because we got so far behind. There was a need for it. We had to just say, if you buy something here, we're going to fix it up. But if we can't do it, if you don't buy it here, because people were trying to bring us some other doors they bought, like in Texas. And that was fine for a while, but we're at a point now where we're growing. And so I've got to just take care of the people that are coming in our front door.
Yeah. And then if you just need to root through bins of brass doorknobs from 1882,
they're
there too.
It's fine. It's like a museum. I mean, my dad said, this looks like, if I have an analogy, it would be Home Depot, but in 1882. So when somebody walked in, that's what you would see is our store, but doorknobs and light fixtures and wall sconces and more doors and then null posts and staircasing and bathtubs and pedestal sinks. And
all right, before we go to the break, what's the craziest thing you've ever sold to somebody out of your place?
Oh, my gosh. The first thing I sold, which was kind of crazy, but it was a marble mantle from Atlanta in one of these large structures that were being torn down. And the first thing I purchased and sold was a $17,000 mantle back in 1999. And obviously that got me hooked really quick. Anyway.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm going to do this. But I restored it, took it to their house. We installed it with Gardner Stone down in Birmingham, Alabama, into this house in Mountain Brook. And it was absolutely beautiful. And I said, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life for sure. And so from that, I could walk through the fireplace opening. It was so big, though.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. All right, well, listen, we got State Senator Garland Gudger, hails out of the Coleman area. He's actually a business owner himself. Southern Accents is his company. You ought to check it out. In the meantime, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from this break, and we're going to dive right back into what I was talking about before he walked in the door. Jobs, jobs, jobs. How do you put jobs in place? How do you create the environment where businesses want to expand or bring themselves for the first time? What do you got to have? Well, you got to have site selection, workforce development, economic incentives, all of it. And where we start, State Senator Garland Gudger, we'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. I mean, I'm talking about making common sense a superpower. Listen, we're back in studio right now with State Senator Garland Gudger, hails out of Senate District 4 over in Coleman. All right, my brother, you listen, you chair Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. We lovingly call it FRED. That would be, all right, that's on, bud. Hang on a second. We got a mic problem. Let's go ahead and take a look just real quick. Talk again. Test. We got nada. What'd you do? Did you break my mic? Did you turn that off?
I flipped it and turned it off. Oh, I was looking at Boomer like it was his fault. Any technical issue? It was my fault. I'm sorry about that, buddy.
How about we just turn it on? That'll work real good. Anyway, so all right, sitting in the studio. Let's try it again with State Senator Garland Gudger. All right, listen, man, you chair FRED, Fiscal Responsibility Economic Development. This past year wound up being a huge focus. I mean, econ development, big deal. And I've been telling the audience, three major things. You got to have site selection. You got to have workforce development. You got to have economic incentives.
That's right.
So this past year, there was a huge push and a renewal and a sort of a revamping of the SEEDS Act, site selection stuff. Talk about that for a minute.
The site selection is the State Industrial Development Authority or agency. And that was a George Wallace era when it was created. Our job was to put about $2 million in there per year over the years. We really didn't use that. It was really just kind of a vehicle that we'd run some bonds through. From those bonds, we'd try to get different sites, but we'd never utilized to its full potential. So we started looking at what are we in Alabama needing to do in today standards of where economic development is and who we're competing against. And that is using that particular board, which was already set up for that many years, but actually funding it the way it needs to be funded, because all of our competitors, which is our surrounding states, are definitely doing that. They're doing four or five times what we're doing per year. So this was the first time we put significant dollars into that particular agent, into that Industrial Development Board. And then from that, we're going to take that money, and then we're going to have grants that are going to be there for all the county commissions, Industrial Development Boards, city councils, and mayors. And so from that, there'll be rules that we're setting up now. There are going to be applications that will be lined out. Our friends at EDPA, Greg Barker, is setting all of that up for us for the Department of Commerce. That all should be handled by the end of this year. And starting next year, that money will start flowing back into the community so that we can get sites prepped and ready so that utilities even could be brought to it. So there will be ready-to-go sites. So when industries are looking for sites, we have them on a map and ready to go.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think I ever had a clue until I actually got into the same position you're in right now in the Senate as to how much goes into site prep. It's not just a matter of we're going to level the trees and they put a sign out front that says build to suit. It doesn't work that way.
No, not at all.
There's going to be environmental impact studies. There's going to be economic impact studies. There's going to be, you know, whether the utilities are there and ready to turn on. And then there's going to be rail and highway access.
Exactly.
Do you have to build a flyaway over the interstate to allow an exit ramp on a major plant? Yeah. I mean, it's on and on and on.
But without those utilities, you're going to hear over and over again, you know, that's a beautiful piece of land, but it's just dirt. Until you have utilities ran to it, then you have something. And so we're making sure that we have the full package so that these larger industries are going to be attracted to Alabama.
And there was a day back in the day when they used to say that if you build it, they will come when it comes to those kind of sites, where the utilities would go out first and then hope to lure a client. But the reality is even Alabama Power, Spire Gas, or whoever else is going to run those utilities, local water, they kind of got to know they have a customer coming before they invest in the infrastructure. So there's this balancing act of trying to get the site prep done, utilities stopped out, but do they really bring it all the way in? It's a balancing act.
You know, and it's kind of like if you looked at an analogy just in the simple terms of, are we needing a fire hose of water, you know, to set that up? Or we need a garden hose of water? Or do we need a fire, what do you call them, corners?
Hydrant.
Hydrant, yeah. Do we need a full hydrant, you know? So the thing is, how much water flow do we need? How much power do we need? What is going to be the use of this land? Because if we just brought as much of the maximum capacity of each of our industries and utilities to that site, it might be overkill. And so there is a balancing act to find out what's going to be coming there as quick as we can to make sure that we have the correct utilities that are going to be associated with that particular jobs and industry.
Well, in Alabama, and unless something has changed, and I don't track it as much as I used to, obviously, but unless something's changed, there's only two mega sites. There's one here in Etowah County. There's one in Baldwin County.
Right.
1,000 acres, everything ready, already got the advantage stamp on it from the Department of Commerce. But it doesn't mean that you can't use this SEEDS Act then to also assist the smaller communities with an industrial park or with something that could bring smaller industry in tomorrow.
That is correct. There's going to be some limitations of how much a smaller industry and a smaller park can get through that grant program. Obviously, if you had 2,000 acres somewhere like Novella site that was in Baldwin County, you're talking about that took that site, you're going to have more money you can pour in there because they're going to need that. If you're looking at a 50-acre site, then that's going to be a little bit, obviously, less money, so they're not going to need as much. So there's going to be some type of tier levels where you're going in. You have to meet this quality first of this many acres, and then it goes from there. It goes to the, you know, through the sky as far as how much money you can put into one of the mega sites. The key is finding a mega site. And again, we have two. One just got taken from Novellus, you know, aluminum stamping.
Right.
So really, we only have one. Yeah. Right, and that'll walk in.
Could you bring something to it, please?
Yeah, exactly.
While we're here, let's make some news. Breaking, Etowah County. No, the reality is too. There's so many nuances that go into this, and in a minute we're gonna come back from our break, and I want to talk about some of the myths around economic development. There was a day when they used to throw cash at things. We don't throw cash anymore.
No,
and we put some things in place. While I was in office, that you guys are perpetuating now, that require clawbacks on contracts, that require jobs to be produced to a certain milestone, and that put timelines on these businesses. And we also, by the way, have to talk about who's already here. It's not just about trying to bring in the new industry from the outside. How about we take care of who's been a good tenant, and we're making sure that we're giving them the options for expansion as much as we're talking about bringing in new competition.
The existing industries are just as important, if not more, than trying to recruit new ones. And I've learned that just over my years of economic development from city council to the Senate now. But there's plenty of people that are already here that want to expand. We need to be helping them also.
All right. We're in the studio right now with State Senator Garland Gudger, hails out of Coleman. He's currently chairing the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility Economic Development, which we lovingly call FRED, down in the Alabama State Senate. And we're talking about economic development, site selection, workforce development, economic incentives. How do you do it? And then how do you do it right? Because in the end, this is also still working with the taxpayer's dollar. And I'll tell you right now, there was a day when they used to just sling money. It didn't always work out well, like an old rail car construction plant that never really happened in North Alabama back in the day. But what we're looking at now is a matter of contract, a matter of putting it together in a way that is responsible, proficient, and also, by the way, draws in clientele. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.
Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So sitting here in studio with State Senator Garland Gudger, who represents the District 4 out of the Coleman area, chairs the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility Economic Development. There's an article on Yellowhammer News. This is an old one. It came out back in September of last year. But this was Greg Canfield, who's our Secretary of Commerce for the state. And he was talking about the Jobs Act and the incentives that y'all also renewed this past session. And he said that since 2015, which is when we put them in place, the Alabama Jobs Act incentives have allowed us to attract over $17 billion in new investment and create 34,000 jobs from just under 200 projects from 2015 through 2021. So I guess here's my point in this. And I get it, because there were some irresponsible things done in the past. But there's a tendency sometimes for conservatives to believe you can't do economic incentive. That's a corporate welfare. You can't just give away. We're not giving away money. First of all, look at the return on the investment we just got here. But the second thing is, we've also restyled the way it's all done, part of which is your transparency bill from this past year.
Right, yeah. So the transparency bill is something that was dear and near to my heart, for the fact of, as a small business person, I have to watch every dollar that leaves my store, right? If I make some bad investments or I make something go astray as far as money, I'm negatively affected dramatically. Now, from that, it's the same way at the state level. We put out the incentives program, but from that, I want to know that the public tax dollars are being used the way they're supposed to be, as efficiently as possible. And then also, I would like to know where they're going to make sure we get a return on our investment, right? And so that's just the same way with my small business. So I started talking to people about the transparency, and what we were going to do is just put it on a website and it was going to be fine. I added a part of the transparency bill to that to say, listen, I want a joint board that is going to be Senate and House to come together that's focused just on economic incentives, and then they can have a third party verify the numbers to make sure that the Department of Commerce, that those numbers you just read out, are as good as what they're saying, which they always have been. It's just nice when we're able to verify and take that to the general public so they can say, not only are they telling us this, right, the Department of Commerce, that is doing the job and telling us what the numbers are, but we've also had a third party that we chose to make sure those numbers are verified. So that way, we're having a small group that comes together, some of the budget chairs in the House and the Senate, some of the economic developers from the House and the Senate, and that particular board has made transparency go further than it's ever been before. So the people can get on a website now, madeinalabama.com, and they can look at each project that they were just talking about in that Yellowhammer article. And from that, they can see what the return on investment is, how many jobs were created, the capital outlay, everything that they need to know about is our tax dollars working for us. And so we're one of the first ones, if not the first in the nation, to be able to do this at the level that we're doing it, so the general public can look and see that for themselves. The thing about this is, now, we do not dangle this incentives and this carrot out in front of them to give them money back or these incentives. They have to invest and have to be here for a year before they get this money. So a lot of people don't realize that, saying you're giving them money just to get here, then they're going to leave in 6 months. Well, they can. They won't get the incentives. They have to be here for a year. They have to build with brick and mortar. They have to produce the jobs. They have to do the capital outlay. They have to buy the equipment, run the utilities to their structures. From then, after a year, then they get the incentives. And I think that is the best way to do that, to make sure that we're fiscally responsible.
Yeah, I think so. And one of the things we added, I mentioned earlier in the show, that we added that was not in place until 2015-ish, thereabouts, was what we called a clawbacks. And that's where there's a matter of contract. It's not like a handshake. Hey, good luck, fellas. Hope the plant works well. No, it's a contract with the state. All those things you just listed, being here for a certain amount of time, creating a certain number of jobs, hitting a certain number of revenue points and investment levels, and all that to say, if you don't do it, there's a part of that contract, it's called a clawback, that says that we will claw back any incentives you've received if you don't produce like you said you would.
And they are doing that, and I know that for a fact. I had a company that was in my actual district that just went and they did the numbers differently than they should to get the full amount of their incentives for the last 2 years. And I went and talked to Greg Canfield, the director directly, Secretary Greg Canfield at the Department of Commerce. And he said, listen, you know, we have certain rules. We told them to look at this before they turned it in. They didn't last year. And this year, they still have time. But last year, I can't go back. You know, this is what it is on paper, and those are our rules, and we're sticking with it. So he was protecting my public tax dollars that were invested earlier. But there was already a clawback, even in my own district, about that.
Yeah.
And I think that was – I hate to say I was happy to see that, but I know that he's doing his job on the clawbacks, and I think the clawbacks are crucial for anything going forward, and I commend my predecessors, including yourself, that put that in.
Well, I appreciate that. The Going back to the transparency piece too, I love the fact. So I'm a small business guy. A law firm is a business, so mm-hmm. I have a law firm. We do a lot of real estate work. A few years ago, it was a little frustrating. I've been doing real estate for close to 17 years at that point, and all of a sudden, I had to prove that I could still do it. And they call it Alta best practices, and we had to get all kinds of external things in place. One of which was we have to have third party audits.
Right.
And but that's exactly what you're talking about with that transparency piece, is an outsider having to come in to provide validation on the facts that are being presented.
You know, one of the things, exactly what you just said is exactly right. One of the things that we wanted to focus on was that the person that is telling us the information is not the same person that was supposed to be producing the information, because you see that in government a lot. Let me tell you what I did for this year, but then no one verifies their numbers. And this is a way for the state legislature to say, we're going to verify your numbers to make sure that they're there. And if they're not, we'll figure out where the discrepancy is and go forward. But all that does is protect the public tax dollars that are coming in and that we're putting out a year later after our industry comes. But it's the right thing to do. There is no doubt about it.
And I was going from memory. Maybe you recall this from your time when it would have been back in your city council days. But there was some rail car plant that was going to be built in North Alabama, and it may have been up near your district. I'm not sure exactly where it was, but it was a total boondoggle. I mean, basically, old way of doing things under Democrat control. They threw money on top of something that never materialized, and the investment was just gone.
And the investment was gone. That was the key. And that's
you remember that?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. And it's happened over and over again in local communities. And I'm talking about small towns just as well as urban communities, right? And so over the years, I think Alabama has gotten smart, making sure that the clawbacks are in there, making sure that we're not giving all the incentives up front, or if any incentive up front, they have to produce first. And then once they produce, then we're going to give them their money. It's just like a business transaction. So if I'm going to produce a service for you, I'm going to produce that service. A plumber comes to your house to fix your pipes or whatever, there's a leak. He's going to produce that service first, and then you're going to write him a check at the end. And that's what the state of Alabama is doing now. Instead of saying, well, how much do you think this will be? It's only going to be $1,500, but why don't you give me $10,000 instead, and I'll just make sure it's covered. And they would write him a check for that back in the good old days. That's not the way that it happens anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're about to take another break, and then when we come back from that, if we can, I want to talk about some workforce development issues, what Alabama can do. And then if you got any insights on how we stand up on the national stage, I mean, it ain't like Georgia's sitting still. It ain't like Virginia's sitting still. They're trying to compete with what we're trying to do, Tennessee. And they're trying to grab hold of it. And basically, it's a constant level of competition.
Exactly what it is.
All right, man. Listen, we're with State Senator Garland Gudger. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from this break, and then we'll kind of wrap up our discussion on economic development. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Number two on the Triple Dipper for the day. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we've been talking about jobs, jobs, jobs. Because I'll be honest with you, the economy, we're still in the rebound off of COVID. We're still looking at how do we become more and more the state where people want to locate their businesses and grow their businesses. And I mentioned earlier site selection, so I'm sitting here in the studio with State Senator Garland Gudger. He's from Cullman, State Senate District 4. He chairs the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. He's a businessman himself out of Cullman. By the way, I got to pause. Before I go any further, you just told me during the break earlier that one of your guys in the wood shop has Right Side Radio on every day. So I'm giving a shout-out right now to Roger in the wood shop.
He's going to be ecstatic when he hears that. That's great. Thanks.
Roger man. In the wood shop, we appreciate you, brother. And I am sending you a Right Side Ruffian T-shirt, by the way.
That's awesome.
Don't let your boss keep it. I gave it to him for you.
So. Definitely.
All right, but listen, man. So aside from site selection, aside from the incentives we talked about, and the fact that, I mean, some people want to say, it's corporate welfare. You can't do that. We're not picking winners and losers. They still got to come here and do the thing and compete. But then we also got to have people to work. The labor force participation in Alabama right now kind of sucks.
Terrible.
Unemployment is good, but the labor force participation is the indicator that people are not all getting back in the market.
And they're not trying to.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. And that number is staggering if you don't realize the difference in those two anyway, because unemployment is one thing where people are looking for jobs, but if they're looking, they can find a job. So that number is pretty low. But workforce participation is the numbers that we're looking at now in the Senate saying those are the jobs are the people that are not even getting off their couch to go look for jobs anymore. And that number is continuing to grow higher instead of lower.
Yeah.
And that bothers everyone, obviously. How do we get those people motivated to get out? But, you know, it's a multiple of things, from people looking at social media and say, I'm just going to find a side hustle that's on Instagram or something like that, versus I don't want to go work to a 9-to-5 job anymore. Where do I get my freedom if I want to go to a job? I don't want to stay there and be, you know, chained to a desk. I want to be doing something different, which is understandable if you can do that. But the key is we need people out with skills that are being trained to be able to do high quality, state-of-the-art processes and techniques for these industries that are coming in. And right now, there's not the pipeline that we used to have full of people coming out saying, I want to do this, you know, for the next 20 years. It's just not there.
Which takes creativity, by the way. Mm-hmm. The part of the job of the legislature is not to pick the winners and losers, is to set the environment for which economic development can occur. And I think that's the difference here. But one of the things that we did back when I was in, and I was proud to carry the bill, it was my bill, was a dual enrollment bill. I mean, we have kids right now, because of that bill, who are able to be in high school and dually enrolled in a tech school, like at a community college level. And just to throw out an example here, you can graduate from high school and to get your welding certificate at the exact same time and go to work down in the boatyards at, you know, Austal Shipbuilders down in Mobile, making $60 an hour.
Oh, I mean, my brother-in-law is a perfect example of that. When that dual enrollment bill came out, he ended up going to high school, going to Wallace State Community College in Hansville, learning how to do pipe fitting and any type of machining to help with that. Came out, he was going to get, went ahead and got a certification for a 2-year after he got out of high school, and went straight into the workforce. Fast forward, you know, 16, 17 years later, he's making more money than I've ever thought about making as a plumber and as a pipe fitter. And he's never gone to a 4-year, you know, get a 4-year degree or to a university. He just went straight to the technical school, learned a trade, used his hands every day. And it's amazing what they're making right now. But we need more and more of that as we go forward.
And then sometimes it gets specialized. So back to the economic development piece, we have a thing here in the state of Alabama called AIDT. And AIDT, along with another one called ATN, the Alabama Technology Network, one of those incentives that we can apply is say, hey, we have this organization, and if you want to bring your plant here and it does, say, robotic manufacturing, or you need people that are AutoCAD trained, or whatever the case may be, we can give you a training material to help you get that ready and do it.
Exactly. That's going to be custom made just for them. And that's the greatest thing about it, is that they're partnering. And so by partnering, they're saying, this is the exact type of robotic welding that I need, because there's multiples that I found. And so from that, they're able to partner with these schools, partner with the students. And then from that, they're able to get exactly the student that has now turned into a professional, leaving that university or technical school, going straight into their industry. And they've already been trained over that 2-year period, because they've partnered with the technical school, they've partnered with through the high school, they've partnered with any type of university. And that workforce development is crucial for the dual enrollment. And I'm thankful that I didn't know that you were the one that sponsored that, but it's a blessing, because there's so many kids that are in Coleman. My niece is one of them right now.
Kidding.
Yeah, she's 16, just turning 17. She is a junior at Coleman High School, and she now works for the gentleman I just told you about, the pipe fitter, works in their office half a day. And so it's amazing she does that. Yeah,
that's very cool. Well, listen, man, I mean, people don't realize to the extent that this is a cutthroat thing. I mean, I mentioned earlier that, you know, Georgia and Virginia are not sitting still. They're looking at, if they see Alabama put something in place, they're like, well, we got to do ours.
Oh, yeah.
And then next thing you know, site selection. I mean, I got one of my articles here in my stack. We were listed as being number 6 in the nation for site selection, just by one of the major periodicals in the fall of last year. So that being said, there's somebody else that's got number 7. It's like, what do we got to do to be number 6?
Exactly. It's a competitive market. No matter what happens, the jobs are the key to the whole lineup of how we as the state of Alabama is going to go and proceed of getting people from the schools, learning the trades, moving into the industries, producing jobs and producing, you know, what we need in Alabama to be the best that we possibly can be for the best quality of life. I think that as we go forward, without having everybody on the same page and continuing to work our rear ends off in the Senate to have the legislative part of it, to be ready to go for anything that's happening with AIDT, especially as our partner, and learning what they need and funding them the proper way, then we're going to be behind the eight ball.
Well, I mean, so the bottom line is this. Alabama is a great place to work. It's a great place to raise your kids. Property taxes are low here. You can actually set up shop and do some things. You can expand a business. You got you know, you got some of the finest football in the nation. You got everything from mountains and lakes to white sandy beaches, but you still got to give them a reason to come. And I look at this a lot like selling a car. If I was down to two vehicles I wanted to buy, I guarantee you the dealerships are going to have dealer rebates. They're going to have sales. They're going to have incentives. They're going to try and give me the proper deal. I'm going to be able to talk to them and tell them I need a little more to do this because the trade-in value is not enough. And it's really no different when a state is doing that compared to other states trying to draw in new business or grow existing business.
Exactly. And in the end, it's a quality of life, right? If that particular car dealer you just gave that analogy of is the one that sells it, then they've produced that sale. They've got probably a relationship that they can build off of and maybe get their daughters or sons' cars from there on out, and they're going to come back to the same place. And it grows. Not only do we need to make sure that these site selections that we're talking about are funded, that we have multiple throughout the state, and as you said earlier, we only have one mega site. We need more than that, but also we need smaller sites for tier two and tier three industries that are coming in. Then you move from the sites, you move over to the people, to the career tech, to make sure that they are trained for the state-of-the-art technologies that is happening in all of these industries now. It's not like it used to be where it's dirty and, you know, and you can't see when the steel production. It is all clean and it's electrical. And from that, as we go forward, we've got to have the right sites, the right people, and we've got to be competitive in the legislature for the incentives.
All right, brother. Well, listen, every once in a while, I miss exactly what you're doing, but I'm glad you're there doing it.
Well, thank you.
Sometimes I miss it. Yeah. A lot of times I don't. Anyway, State Senator Garland Gudger from the Cullman area, Senate District 4, been serving since 2018, now currently the chairman of Fiscal Responsibility Economic Development. Brother, we appreciate you. And
thank you.
Southern accents.
That's it. Cullman, Alabama.
Yeah, check it out. And many thanks to Roger in the woodshop.
No doubt. He's going to be tickled.
All right, listen, folks, we're going to come right back. We're going to take some text messages and catch up on some of those because I can see they've stacked up on my screen over here. In the meantime, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.